Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night and Are You Afraid of the Dark podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is a useless warrior, Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Eh, could be better.
Yeah, you could have been. You could have saved an episode, but you didn't.
Nope.
I mean, you wouldn't have saved the episode, but...
Nothing could have, really.
What a stinker. What a stinker that episode was.
Yeah, let's hope maybe this episode's a little better. We'll see.
Yes, let us hope. So, how are you doing today, Brandon? How was your week since Miss Fortune Cookie?
I've thought a lot about it. And after reflecting on that episode, I'm really thinking that maybe I still really don't like it.
Yeah, I feel the same, man.
Yeah, just, you know, you sit and you think about Miss Fortune Cookie and the fact that it's called Miss Fortune Cookie. You just can't get over it.
The tale of a wonderful life. I was so disappointed in Miss Fortune Cookie, I had to go take a vacation, so I went away last weekend.
Well, did that help?
It was pretty great. We went and played some mini golf, actually. So I went and played mini golf with my wife and my father-in-law and his wife and my son. And it was one of those ones, I don't know if you played mini golf anytime recently, but it was pirate-themed, so it was pretty great.
Themed. I like that.
Yeah, I don't go mini golfing that often, and this was great. Private themed, awesome. So we're doing our holes, you know, everybody's having a really great time, and we get up to hole, like, 16 or something like that. We're almost to the end, and this whole thing, like, you go up, like, a hill a little bit, it goes winding up a hill, and, you know, the shots get more complicated as you go or whatever. So we're on hole 15, and my son, we had him go first because he's the youngest, whatever. And, you know, he gets his in, and then he walks up to the next hole, which is, it was, like, at the top of the hill, and it curved and went down, as it would. I mean, you got to get back down to where you start. Mm-hmm. And he looks at it, and we're all, you know, putting still, and he goes, "What the hell is this?"
Damn.
It was so funny. Just because there's, like, this hill, and it's got a curve to it.
He was just absolutely flabbergasted by it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you know, we had to turn our heads and laugh at him, but it was really hard. And then he got a hole-in-one on that what the hell.
Really? What the hell?
Exactly. It was great. We were taking so long that people were passing us and everything, you know, classic stuff. So that was my week. It was great.
That sounds pretty good.
It was funny. What the hell is this? It's a turn. Like,
what?
It's a little hill.
They can do that?
It was funny. You could hear him clear as day. And then when he got his hole in one, you know, with this pandemic and stuff, he's been really starved for, like, human interaction because we try not to get him out of the house because... We don't want him to get sick. So, yeah. You know, he got his hole in one, and there were people down, you know, on hole five or something down the side. And so he would, like, yell out down to him, like, "I got a hole in one." And nobody cared. Nobody cared. They were assholes.
What?
I know.
Man, if I was playing mini golf, if someone said they got a hole in one, like, I don't care who you are. I'd be like, "Yeah, good for you, champ."
I'd be like, "Whoop, whoo." But especially if it was a 5-year-old, give me a break.
Yeah. Boo.
Like, I could do better than that, kid.
Play a real sport.
Yeah, so how was your week, Brandon?
As I do very frequently, I spent a lot of time just being sick.
God, you're always sick.
I know.
Australia's killing you in other ways.
It's slow, but I'm getting murdered by Australia.
God. How long have you been there? It's been like, what, 3 years? 4 years?
Some amount of years, yeah.
Yeah, and you still haven't acclimated to, like, the weather change or anything?
But hey, it hasn't killed me yet, so you're going to have to try harder than this, Australia.
You know, you might want to not say that so loud, okay? You might accidentally crack open a misfortune.
What's Australia like... going to do?
What are they going to do? Sting you with unsinkable. A poisonous octopus? Or sting me with a poisonous snake. Or sting me with a poisonous spider. What else is there? Birds, probably.
Oh, yeah. There's birds that swoop at you.
There's what? Platypuses?
Peck your eyes out.
They got poison. The koalas are going to spit eucalyptus goo at you.
They just drop on you.
Oh my god. Yeah, don't tempt the fates in Australia, Brandon. It's not a good idea. I think everybody could agree with that.
Well, I don't care. Do your worst.
As long as it doesn't happen while we're recording this podcast.
Yeah, at least wait.
We got a couple of more episodes left to get through, and then Australia can seek its vengeance.
Just hold on. We got like 1 3/4 of a season, and then, you know, you can kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, we just got done watching The Tale of the Virtual Pets. What did you think of this episode, Brandon?
This episode's another stinker.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Not quite as bad, I don't think.
You know what? I don't think it's quite as bad either.
There are some interesting things about it, but overall...
I give this episode props for the tech talk. Like, it's dumb, but it's not, like, made-up stupidity, you know, for the most part.
It's mostly nonsense, but there's enough of it that's real words that, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's not just like, hook up the Giga Drive to the MegaNet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is what I would expect from something that came out of this age. You know, movies around this time were all about like, oh, spies need to get the secret CD-ROM and this kid's hidden it in, you know, what's the story of Home Alone 3? In his race car or something?
I don't know. No one's seen that movie.
They're all about like trying to be super high-tech and the biggest high-tech words you can manage. And this episode doesn't quite have that, which is good because... I liked it. Yeah. I didn't like it, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
At the same time, I think this may be the most dated episode of the show that we've seen so far.
I don't know, man. Tamagotchis are making a comeback.
Well, they're just apps now, aren't they?
Probably. I don't know. I've never actually looked for a Tamagotchi app. I don't care that much. I hated my Tamagotchi. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to just say, I think that this episode is a very, very watered down version of The Tale of the Chameleons.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that's all you really need to know what's going on. Even though that should be what you think it is, like, from the start, so.
Someone was like, let's just make techno chameleons.
Yeah. It's super, super watered down, though. Like, it's like Kool-Aid, but you forgot to put the sugar in it, so.
And not the cool kind of watered down where it turns you into a lizard. But the kind of watered down where it doesn't feature any Maoris whatsoever.
If there was Tia and Tamara Maori in this episode, it would probably
10 out of 10.
I would take Taj Maori, too.
So. I would take Taj Maori any day, but any Maori, definitely. I mean, even if it was just one of them. Like, we don't need the full set. If it was just Tia, I'd be like, yeah, this is all right.
It could use a bit of Maori, you know, Maori magic, if you will.
Yeah,
but
it's that little extra spice.
I think we should just go ahead and get into this episode.
All right. Enough goofing.
Our episode begins, and the camera pans up to show us Tucker poking at the campfire with a stick. And Quinn is laying on a couch behind him. And Quinn is asking Andy to make a big fire tonight. That he's feeling chilly.
Who does this guy think he is?
He's the Frank.
He's laying on this couch like he's a freaking pharaoh, and he's like eating grapes. Like, Andy,
he's getting fanned.
Fan me.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't even told a story yet, bro. Like, you're barely in this club.
He's the Frank of the whole season. Okay.
Maybe. I think the intention was for him to be Frankish, but I'm kind of getting more of a Stig vibe from this guy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Eric.
That's not someplace you want to be.
That's true. We see Andy walk up through the pathway with a handful of logs, and he trips for a second time this season, but this time he catches himself against the couch.
Yeah, I guess that's his thing. Like, tripping while holding sticks.
He's a bumbling doofus, I don't know.
A cool character trait. Maybe somebody else can get the sticks.
Nah. Let's have Andy do everything. Make our fortune cookies, get the sticks.
Fan us.
Yeah, exactly. He catches himself before the sticks tumble out of his hands, and Quinn just gets like, he gets all freaked out about it, and Andy apologizes sarcastically and asks if he's warm now, and then he sets the sticks down and he squats next to Tucker. And we cut over to Megan, who walks up apologizing that she's late, so she truly is Kristen 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear some beeps coming from her. And she pulls out a little pager, complaining about how her mom keeps paging her. You're in the middle of the woods at midnight. There's wolves surrounding you. Shut the fuck up, Megan. She sits down next to Quinn on the couch, and he says, maybe you should call her and tell her that you're okay. And Tucker looks over at her and asks, how's she gonna make her call? Smoke signals?
Objection.
I know, me too, but you go ahead.
Tucker called in from home in the phone police, and that was like 20 years earlier.
I know.
He knows the technology exists.
He did it for a story. Gary attached an amplifier to the cell phone thing.
He was on the phone for like an hour.
Yeah, I know. I was like, shut the fuck up, Tucker. Like, you had a story that was all about this. Well, Megan sighs and she pulls out a cell phone and she raises up the antenna.
Objection.
And starts calling her mom. What now?
Why the hell does her mom need to pager if she's got a cell phone?
That's a good point, too. I didn't think of that.
Isn't the whole point of a pager like, oh, someone needs to contact me. I got to get to a phone. I've never had one because, you know, pagers are dumb.
Yeah. I mean, we were too young to have pagers, but I don't know, man. Yes?
All right. That's two. Two strikes.
Quinn nods and says, why am I not surprised? And then out of the walkway walks Vange, who points and says, that is exactly what my story's about.
I like that. I like to think she was just waiting behind a bush. Like, come on, somebody pull out some electronics.
Me too.
Ah, phone. That's what my story's about. That thing.
Quinn's all, what? Spoiled rich chicks? And looks at Megan, who looks pissed as him. And Vange sets down a little bucket saying, no, electronic stuff. And she walks over to the back of the couch and sets her face between Megan and Quinn saying, everybody's always using cell phones, laptop computers, electronic notebooks.
And she was thinking this in 1999 or whatever.
I know.
Man.
And she says, it's not just grown-ups either. Kids have pagers, calculators, and games. And she grabs a phone from Megan's hands and she says, she'll call you back into it. And then she slaps it shut and throws it on the couch saying, we can't live without them. And Megan groans saying, you're so 11. I have a question here, though. Aren't laptop computers and electronic notebooks the same thing? Or am I wrong?
I'm not sure. Does electronic notebook mean some kind of PDA where you're, like, making notes in them?
Maybe that is what she meant.
Like a digital
address book. I don't know. I thought laptop and notebook were interchangeable.
Yeah, it's notebook computers. That's what some people call them, not me.
I don't know. Maybe she meant like a digital piece of paper. I mean, I'm sure that's a thing.
Maybe. I mean, she included calculators in that list, so.
Vange walks over to Tucker and Andy says, well, I don't use anything like that. And Vange gets closer to him saying, oh, yeah? What about that alarm on your big old watch of yours? And Andy says, well, sure, every morning. And Vange gets up saying, well, duh, then a computer chip is telling you every morning when to get up. And she walks over to the throne saying, isn't that weird? If we need a computer so bad, and they're getting smarter all the time, does that mean people are getting dumber? And Quinn and Megan look excited as hell now. And Vange continues her pregame saying, my story's about a bunch of kids who use computers. They think they're all pretty smart. But what they don't know is that their computers are really using them. And Quinn looks honestly shook at that. And Andy and Tucker nod in excitement. And Vance says, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story
The Tale of the Virtual Pets.
I will argue that one of the main kids, Tom, is actually quite smart about computers.
He uses computer words. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. He's like C drive.
Yeah, exactly. He's like desktop, printer. He's like
backslash.
Like, he said something about printing, like, a high-resolution printer picture, and I was just like, what? They had that back then? So
what's the word resolution?
Exactly.
This kid's like, a genius. What?
Ugh. He's like 60 frames per second, and I'm like, huh?
Hacksaws!
I don't know. What she has to say is kind of... It's more about the story than what Andy said last week.
Yeah. It's about the story, but... It's about the story in the way you'd see, like, the blurb on the back of a VHS. Like, it's
hey,
not a...
The VHS for for Blank Check said, if I liked Home Alone, I was going to love Blank Check. And it was right.
It's true. I love Blank Check. And I like Home Alone.
Exactly. So our tale starts up, and we get this long shot of the camera panning across a room where a kid is just beep booping at a computer. And then the camera gets closer, and we look up, and this kid says, while click clacking his keyboard, keyboards, info gathering, deep space probe, satellites, and artificial intelligence. So just some buzzwords.
Yeah, I still don't know. After seeing the whole episode, I don't know what he was trying to accomplish here.
My immediate thought is that he was... Okay, so he's using like a search engine kind of thing, like an Alexa, if you will. So I assume that he is trying to like get this started where it like is starting to have some semblance of intelligence. And he started with, I don't know, deep space, because that's just where you start.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this kid has made this whole system up or if it was like something that was given to him. I don't know. Like the origins of what this thing is, which is going to be called Digger. I don't know where it came from. Like, I don't know if it's trying to show us that he's making it right now or not.
No, he's finding it.
Okay.
Somehow. I guess that,
just he's randomly. On the deep web, or the dark web or something. I don't know.
He's on that outer space shit.
It was a lot of words that reminded me of Unexpected Visitor.
Yeah, this whole thing's kind of Unexpected Visitor.
But chameleons also.
Yeah. It's just a greatest hits, but not as good.
The camera shows us this kid's computer screen, and it looks like he's playing a game on it, maybe. The screen has a mirror or something in the middle of it, and it opens up, and there's a... I accidentally have, like, a little dyslexia or something, because I put there's a god in there, but it's a dog.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah, there's a god in there, and it turns around. It's a dog. And the kid says, Digger! And the computer then talks to him, saying, welcome, Tom. You have reached Digger, the digital information gathering resource website. Which isn't an anagram for Digger.
No, they tried.
So it's Google, if Google was a dog.
A really shitty looking dog.
So shitty looking. It's in like this portal mirror oval thing. I don't know why. I don't get it. This kid, his name is Tom, says, cool. And the computer says, very, in response. So the kid's all, whoa, you can hear me? And the computer says, yes, we read and store information, all new information. And this kid's like, no kidding. He then picks up a book called Advanced Computer Language. Oh, so that's where he got it all. Never mind. And he's saying, you could read this? And Digger says the name of the book. And Tom's all,
oh, man. This is awesome.
And we look at the screen again, and the dog's eyes have turned blue, and the voice says, feed me.
I love that. Just cuts right to the chase.
It's like some pregame babble for a minute there, and then it's like, all right.
It's like, my name's Digger. Anyway, give me your song.
This thing knows that they only have like 20 minutes. And Tom says, what? And the computer glows purple in his face, saying, feed me. And Tom blinks a couple of times, saying, this is getting kind of weird. And he smashes the escape button a whole bunch on his Tom Stuff keyboard. And all it does is boop a bunch of times while he yells at it to get him out of here. And we see the dog on the screen more, and its eyes are purple, and it's getting more purple. And then finally the kid gets shot in the head with a purple laser.
Yep, that's accurate.
And then his hand digitizes and gets sucked away. And actually, I thought that was a kind of cool effect.
Yeah, there is some neat effects in this episode.
My question is, why didn't he just get up and move away?
Because it was too radical. He had to see what was going on.
His favorite color is purple, so he just had to look at it.
Look, you don't look up deep space probe and AI on the deep web and not expect some kind of crazy laser shit to happen.
Okay. All right. Are you sure? You know what I did when I first got the internet on a computer?
Oh, do I want to know?
Yeah. I went to Nickelodeon and played their, like, nick.com and played their games on their website. So.
My God.
I know. I almost got digitized, but I didn't. So, whew. We get a weird screen transition, which stays with us every time the screen transitions, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the Ghastly Grinner stuff, trying to make it like comic booky, but this is like trying to make it video gamey, I guess.
I don't like it, and I would be okay with it if it only happened like once or twice, maybe, but it's like every screen transition, and I don't like that.
Yeah, they're like, video games!
It digitally like eats the screen away, and
yeah, if they could get away with Pac-Man like eating the screen as a transition, they totally would have.
Oh yeah. Well, now we're outside and some girl is running up to another girl asking if they're going shopping after school, but the second girl's playing on some handheld device that's making some chirping noises, and you might want to get used to that because this episode just features video game noises all the time, like technical staticky beeps and boops and stuff. Anyway, first girl waves her hand in front of this girl's face saying hello, and the girl wins her game or something, and she says score, and then looks at her friend and asks what she said, and first girl's all never mind, and then the second girl looks up in the distance and says oh cool look and runs away. And that is almost all of our characters this episode, so let's meet them.
All right,
first up we have that kid that got laser beamed. That's Tom, and he's played by Jonathan Coensgen, who did the voice of Tommy Tibble and Arthur from 1996 to 2001.
Yep, that sounds about right.
He's also been in a lot of other stuff, like the Taken TV series, some show called Jet, which was about, I don't know, a thief or something, and something else called V-Wars, which I don't know if it was vampires or not, but I assume it's vampires.
I hope so.
We've also got our main character and the first girl in the episode, Kate. She's played by Nicole Dicker. Nicole's IMDb picture is the same as the picture for virtual pets. So this should be great.
So let me guess. She's been the lead in a Scorsese movie.
Maybe.
An Academy Award winning historical drama.
I think that her credentials will surprise you.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm sorry, I hyped her up a little too much, but she played in one episode of Life with Derek. Do you remember that show?
I've heard of it.
She was also in something called The Kink in My Hair.
What is that?
I don't know. Funny enough, Brandon, I wondered the same thing. Like, my brain was like, what could that be, you know? So I clicked on it, and it had two seasons, and there was no description of the show. There was nothing. There was no synopsis whatsoever of the show, of The Kink in My Hair.
So there was enough to greenlight another season,
mm-hmm.
but not enough interest to, you know, have a one-sentence description of what the show is.
Nicole Dicker was also in your favorite Disney Channel original movie. Do you want to try and take a guess on what one it is?
My favorite one?
I mean, I use that in, like, air quotes, kind of, because I don't think it's your favorite, but, you know. It left an impact on us.
Okay, Luck of the Irish.
No, True Confessions with your boy Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, that's not my favorite one. I've never seen it, but we did definitely discuss it.
Yeah, we used to make fun of it. We're mean girls, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our last character is Kate's friend, who can't do two things at once. It's Isabel, and she's played by Alicia Morrison. And surprisingly, Alicia was also in an episode of The Kink in My Hair.
Whoa. Was that before or after this?
It was after this.
Okay. So they were like, these girls, they're dynamite together.
Yes. She's also in one of my favorite movies, Mean Girls.
Oh, that's us.
I know. I didn't mean to say that, but you know what? It works. Okay, let's get back to this incredible story. We look over, and there's a kid playing on a handheld device, and he's got a big crowd of people watching him. And Isabel joins that crowd, and she points at the game or whatever he's playing, and some kid is, like, fist-pumping by her as if this shit is exciting. And there's some vague video game sounds coming from it. Kate walks over, she shakes her head, and then walks away. And the scene does another fizzle transition, which is very much not like this show, so it was very out of place. And we see Isabel walking up to Kate, who asks her, what was that all about? And Isabel is all, I'm so jealous. Dave got the new virtual pets. And Kate shrugs, saying, so what? Just another video game. And Isabel corrects her, saying, it's not. Tom says it can hear and understand your voice. and Kate questions Tom's intelligence, but Isabel lets her know that Tom brought them in and calls them diggers. And there's a touch of ominous music, and the screen does that stupid digitizing fade, and we switch scenes.
So those boys out front were playing diggers?
Yes. Well, one of them was, and everybody else crowded around it.
What the hell is there to get so excited about watching diggers?
Well, as somebody that's never had a Tamagotchi, Brandon, you wouldn't understand.
I just can't imagine anyone crowding around being like, whoa, look at that shitty dog face. Woo woo!
No, at 1999 or so, everybody would have been crowding around to see Pokemon. I just want to ask, Brandon, what do you think about Kate, the main character?
I don't like her.
I don't like her either.
She's kind of, not aggressively unlikable, but...
She's borderline to me.
She's pretty unlikable. She's actively ignorant and proud of it.
Yes, and that's
a problem. It rubs me the wrong way.
Yep. Totally. Totally. I'm glad we're in agreement. I thought for some reason you were going to love her. I'm just kidding. I know you better than that.
Ouch.
Now we're in computer class or something, and the camera pans across the desks of these kids who have their laptops out, and they're taking notes or whatever, which is something that would not happen in a elementary middle school setting. They would be like, get your paper out. I was in school in 1999, and nobody had laptops to take notes. This isn't a college course.
No, this is the shit where they were like, all right, you're writing in cursive now.
Exactly, yeah.
Even though you'll never actually... ever need to.
We see lame Kate with her prehistoric pencil breaking, and Isabel looks over saying, Kate, you gotta see the latest invention. It's called pens. And she lifts one up for her while Kate furiously uses a handheld pencil sharpener. And Kate's all,
First of all,
yes.
Most teachers wouldn't let you use a pen.
That's true. Yes.
You had to use a pencil.
It's almost as if whoever wrote this story has not been in elementary or middle school in a very long time.
And I think the intention here is to make it seem like Kate is, you know, she's primitive. She likes things the classic way. But a pen isn't some kind of future tech, so doesn't really land.
Well, anyway, Isabel's laptop beeps or whatever, and she looks at it saying, oh, shoot, my computer crashed. Which is just a thing that happens, apparently.
Yeah.
You know what? My laptop would probably crash, so whatever. I'll give it to her.
It did.
It did frequently, yes. Kate looks over saying, crashed? And Isabel confidently says,
I must have overloaded the disk.
And lame Kate looks at her saying, and in English that means... And
Kate attempts to... Never mind that what Isabel said is gibberish. It's 1999. People know about computers.
Kate does not know anything about computers. In fact, later in the episode, she says she's never even used one.
That's impossible.
I know, because I was in elementary school in 1998, and we had a computer class. So if she didn't, around this area where all these kids have like laptops and stuff, like, you know that they had a computer class. Don't give me that shit. Isabel attempts to explain a little, saying, I have too much information and... Forget it. You're hopeless.
What is information? I can't keep up with this.
It's a lot, okay? And Kate rips that freshly sharpened pencil out of the sharpener saying, well, my pencil never crashes. Except it just broke, Kate. God.
Yeah. That's analog crashing.
We hear some techno beeps, and Isabel's echolocation picks that shit up instantly, and she stares over at two kids who have one of those dope-ass virtual pets in their hands. And Isabel stands up and tells Kate that it's time to get into the computer age. Let's get us a couple of diggers. And Kate throws her arms down, saying, I told you, I don't want a digger! But Isabel ain't having any of that, and she pulls on Kate's arm until she begrudgingly gets up out of her seat. We look up and see that Tom, from the start of the episode, is handing a girl a digger, and she's thanking him. And Kate and Isabel walk up to him, and he robotically turns and blinks a few times. And Kate immediately attacks him, saying, whoa, spending too much time at the computer? And Isabel gives her a look and a little shoulder bump to shut her up. And Isabel asks Tom how much the diggers cost. Tom hands her a big yellow brick, saying they're free. And Isabel takes it, saying, thanks. And Kate asks where he got them, and Tom immediately says, what's the difference? And we look at the yellow block in Isabel's hand. It's got a screen with a dog and a portal-looking thing, just like the computer screen did before, and it has two little lights on it. One's green, one's red, and that's it. It looks like shit.
Yeah.
The red light blinks as Isabel tells Kate to take it, since it's free, and Kate's all, nah, I don't want anything to do with computers.
Ugh, she's the worst.
I don't like her. I just wanted her to shut up. Is that so wrong?
No, she really needs to.
This whole, like, I don't like computers, they're stupid. It just makes you look stupid.
Take your digger, lose your soul, just shut up, let it happen.
What do you think of this yellow brick?
I think it looks like a piece of shit, and if someone gave one to me for free, I would, like, look at it and just throw it away.
I don't know if I'd throw it away, because I'd feel bad, but, like, I definitely wouldn't.
Well, I wouldn't throw it away in front of them. I wouldn't maintain eye contact while putting it in the bin.
Right.
But I definitely wouldn't want anything to do with it. But not because I'm like, ugh, technology, but just because it looks boring as hell.
It does. So, like I said, there's two lights on the front. I mean, there's a couple of shoulder buttons or something, but it never changes from the dog in a portal. So I don't know what the hell this is supposed to do.
It's just a dog that stares at you and says, feed me, sometimes.
Well, Tom kind of rolls his eyes a little, saying, no rush. And he bends over to get his backpack or something, and Kate looks down and sees some ugly mark on his neck and gets grossed out. I couldn't really tell from the lighting what it was. Obviously,
it's a dog.
I know, it's the digger dog, but it just kind of looked like a really nasty mole or something that he needed to get checked out. She walks away while staring at him, and Isabel plays with her yellow brick. And then the screen transitions again, and we're in a clothing store with Isabel and Kate. And Isabel's still playing with that digger somehow, even though it has no buttons. And Kate's got this big green fleece on. And she asks if it looks as good as she thinks it does. But Isabel ain't paying no attention to her. In fact, she says, it hatched! And then she asks the digger what it needs, and it says, I need you.
Dogs don't hatch.
Yeah, they do, Brandon.
Oh, it's a puppy egg.
Isabel gets excited, saying, it talked! And she looks over at... Wait, hold on. She already knew that it talked to him, right? Didn't she say that was one of the features?
She said that Tom said it, but now she's seeing it for herself.
Okay. She shouldn't be this excited, though. She already knew that was going to happen.
Look, I knew that my son was going to talk, but when he did it, Brandon! I was still like... That's pretty cool.
You can't compare this episode to the miracle of life.
Watch me.
Oh my god. She looks over at Kate and asks if she heard it, and Kate yells, you gonna help me or not? And Isabel's all like, this shit is so dope. So Kate walks over, and she folds her arms, saying, you wanna see something cool? And she grabs Isabel's hand and pulls her up and drags her away. And the girls look in the mirror, and Isabel says, whoa, excellent. And I had no idea what they were doing. And then Kate says, that's infinity, not a computer in sight. What?
Shut up.
What's going on? What is this? Like, this is a very horribly stupid way to incorporate, like, a quote-unquote major plot point of the episode.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I used to love, you know, moving mirrors together and looking into infinity, too, but... It's a really stupid way to incorporate
it.
It's
very forced.
Yeah, yes.
A way easier way, and something that the show's already done plenty of times, would just be having... Because they've already had the scene in the classroom, just have the teacher be like, oh, look, if mirrors, yeah. Blah, blah, they do this. And then the students be like, lame. But then later on, they're like, I remember this.
Yeah, well, Isabel thinks this shit is very cool, and then she talks to her digger, asking if it can see this, and gives it some baby talk for some reason, and Kate calls her a loser and walks away as Digger asks for Isabel to feed it. And then Isabel explains that feeding it is like uploading information to a computer. And we see Kate getting her backpack, and she's talking about how she doesn't know what upload means, and quite frankly, she doesn't give a damn.
Oh my god.
It's a really complex word, okay, Brandon? Okay, you just don't understand. Or you do understand, and that's the problem.
Up, load, load, up. Those words mean the same thing in every context.
So Isabel shrugs as Kate leaves, and then she asks the digger what she can feed it, and then Digger says, feed me, in response. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your technology-shunning schoolmate. Thank you so much for taking a listen to our show. Whether you're a longtime fan or this is your first episode with us, we're really glad that you found us. Are you looking for more laughs? Give us a follow on Twitter at PRVT Island and Instagram at Private Island Presents. We create a ton of content to complement our show, like videos, GIFs, memes, and so much more. We've been putting our editing skills to the test and creating hilarious Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes condensed down into 1 minute or less that is jam-packed with jokes. So, take a look, give us a follow, and join in on the conversation with other fans today. Don't forget, we do live watch parties of full-length episodes every week on Instagram. Our Patreon-only giveaway is going on right now. Become a patron at patreon.com/privateisland to automatically enter in to win. We've got the all-new 2019 Are You Afraid of the Dark reboot on DVD, a vintage Rugrats coloring book, a pack of Ren and Stimpy playing cards, and more. With tiers starting as low as $1 a month, it's the perfect time to support the show, enter in to win, and get access to tons of bonus content uploaded multiple times a week. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Bronze Beths, Heather, Angela, and Eddie, Silver Goth Shane, Steven, and newest patron Matt, Golden Day Days Bryce, Faith, and Sarah, and the Platinum Bostics Kathy, Carly, and Evelyn. Thank you so much, everyone. Our show wouldn't be the same without your support. The Patreon-only giveaway ends on October 1st. For a quick link to all of our social media profiles, the Patreon, Facebook group, YouTube channel, and more, check out the Linktree link in the episode description. We're always accepting questions for our season wrap-up episodes, so if you got a question for me, for Brandon, about podcasting, or anything else, send them our way. You can message us on Instagram or Twitter, or send us an email at privateislandpresents@gmail.com. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for his work on the music for our show, aside from this theme, Dating Start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. For now, I'll let you get back to the show. Thanks again for listening, everyone. I'll talk to you soon. Bye! Another shit transition leaves us with Isabel walking up her driveway while staring at her yellow brick, pretending to play it. She opens up her front door and walks inside, and then she walks in her room asking, "What do you need, little one?" to the digger, which replies with, "Information." She asks what button she presses for information, and the digger says, "Begin information upload." Then a bright purple light shines on Isabel's face, and the digger screen is purple too, and she just stares at it. But then we hear her mom call her for supper, and Isabel looks in the upper right corner of her room. So I was wondering, is supper upstairs, or does she live in the basement? The light fades, and Isabel shakes her head a little, and then sets her digger down next to her computer screen and an open textbook. And she leaves the room, and we stay with the digger, which turns on and absorbs the information from 2 pages of a random-ass textbook.
Yeah, what's it gonna do with that information?
It's not like it could turn the pages, so it didn't get much information out of that textbook.
Please turn the page.
We see it absorbing the information from this textbook, which is like, oh, it's gonna get smarter, but it never uses any information that it absorbs. It just knows things, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
So who fucking cares? We cut, and Isabel's back from dinner, and she's hunkered down studying from that textbook, which is apparently chemistry, and she says if you combine 2 hydrogen atoms and 1 oxygen atom, you get H2O. Water! And the camera pans back, and we see that Kate's in her room, too. And she says, okay, stupid question. Why are you reading out loud? And Isabel turns to look at Kate, saying that she likes me to read to her. And Kate gets a shitty face, saying, she? It's a toy! And could you please stop playing with that thing for 5 minutes? And Isabel puts the digger down, saying, you're right. I got a ton of work to do. And she stands up and walks away. And the camera focuses in on that yellow brick, and the red button is beeping.
Menacingly.
Oh my god, I'm so scared what's going to happen.
So, like a lot of episodes of this show, I'm not sure why these two characters are friends.
Yes, it's a problem.
They're best friends, but they have nothing in common, and they hate spending every second together.
Kate just complains the whole time, every time she's Kate with Isabel.
Hates Isabel. Like, Isabel just kind of, she doesn't care about Kate.
It doesn't make great TV, you know? Like, I get that there has to be conflict or whatever to make a story interesting, but
make the conflict from the alien dogs.
Exactly, yes. Well, we watch Isabel lay on her bed and read, and Kate studying, and Isabel looks over at her little table by her bed, and the digger has teleported there, which I'm just going to spoil something. Like, I thought they were going to do something cool with the fact that it can teleport, but yeah. They don't do anything with it ever again.
Which makes this very out of place.
Yeah, I don't know. What they were doing.
If the digger can kind of move itself around, then it kind of doesn't need a lot of the plans it set up. Like, it should be able to do it by itself.
I would think so, too. But they don't do anything with this. It just happens this one time for some reason. It doesn't seem like a very thought-out plot point. The red light beeps some more, and Isabel looks over at her desk, and then at Kate, and then that purple glow hits her face, and she looks a little sleepy. So Kate asks, "What is with you?" And Isabel's all, "Huh?" And the light fades. And Kate turns to look at her saying,
"Are you addicted or something?"
And she sighs and she stands up and she says, "We have an exam tomorrow." And then she picks up Isabel's digger and puts it in her closet. And Isabel tells Kate that she's tired and she thinks that she'll study in the morning. And Kate closes the door saying, "Whatever. But do me a favor and leave that stupid computer thing alone." And Isabel says that she will. And then asks Kate to turn out the light. So Kate gathers her books and tells her goodnight and shuts off the light, saying that she'll pick her up in the morning. We cut, and Isabel's trying to sleep in her bed, but we hear the digger call out for her. It's telling her to wake up. So Isabel does, and looks around saying, "What? What do you want?" And the digger tells her to come over here. So Isabel gets up out of bed and opens the door, and she looks up at the digger, which glows purple, and she asks what it wants, and it wants to be fed. So it shoots a purple laser at her brain as she slowly backs up, and she stretches a little or something. And we get a close-up of the digger that says, "Progress report?" Okay. I didn't know what was going on at this point. I thought it was the digger in her closet, which maybe that's what the episode wanted me to think, but it's not. It's the one in front of Tom's computer. So we see Tom gazing into a purple glowing computer screen, and he says, "Things are proceeding according to plan." And back with Isabel, she gets digitized and sucked into the device through a beam, and a new Isabel steps aside, and it has super dark sunken in eyes, so you know that she's evil. With Tom, he says, "We've replaced 4 units, and tomorrow we'll replace number 5. With Isabel, she grabs the yellow block, and on the screen now is a shitty, low-quality GIF of Isabel smacking the screen, yelling for help. And fake Isabel gives the worst villain laugh ever, and it's hilarious. It's incredible. It's a tour de force of acting talent that has been not seen in this show since the last episode, really.
I mean, she's playing an entity that is 3 seconds old, so
I didn't think of that. Okay,
she's method acting.
You know what? I will give Isabel credit here. From this point on, like, when she's walking around and stuff, she's pretty robotic. And she does it well.
Yes.
She's much better in this role than she was as Isabel.
See, it's a great idea to write roles for child actors where they have to act wooden and unemotional.
Yeah.
Because they can really pull it off.
The scene breaks to commercial, and then back from it, we see Kate running up to Isabel's door, and she uses the knocker and waits for a moment. And Isabel walks out, and Kate asks if she's feeling better. And Isabel closes her door behind her, asking why, and if she looked sick. Kate's like, "No, but last night, didn't you wear that yesterday?" And Isabel, because she's wearing the same clothes that she did the day before, and actually so does Tom, which is kind of a cool thing. And Isabel robotically walks ahead saying that they'll be late for school, and Kate asks where she got that, and she points at the back of her neck, and Isabel asks, "What?" And Kate's all, "That tattoo on the back of your neck, just like Tom's." And Kate goes to touch it, but Isabel shrugs her off saying, "Oh, last night, do you like it?" And Kate thinks that shit is gross. And Isabel turns her head around saying, "Well, I like it a lot." And the two girls walk away. She just casually got a tattoo.
I mean, fake tattoos are a thing. I had temporary tattoos all the time as a kid. If I saw a tattoo on a 10-year-old, I wouldn't be like, "Whoa, where'd you get the fucking ink?"
Well, that's what
I'd be like,
did.
"All right, you got that out of a pack of trading cards or whatever."
I would be like, "Why did you put it on your neck? It's supposed to be on your arm."
I always put them on my hand.
That's so rad of you.
I know.
Well, another shit transition moves us into the classroom, and Tom's still wearing the same clothes that he had on for the past 3 days now, and he's sitting all robotic, and Kate passes by a few kids next to him and sees that they all have that stupid-ass tattoo on their necks.
It's a bad tattoo.
It looks like a burn mark on their neck or something. The kids with the tattoos are just, like, staring blankly ahead, and honestly, good job, kids. You nailed robot. Kate takes her seat a few rows behind Tom and Isabel because she's sitting next to Tom, and she starts sharpening her pencil and then writing with it, and she looks up and gasps because Tom and Isabel are just staring at her for some reason. Then the teacher asks Kate if she's all right, and she's like, yeah, sorry. Tom and Isabel slowly turn their heads, and then we get a close-up of Kate's face, and she looks around and sees Tom whisper something into Isabel's ear, and then they look back at Kate. And Kate looks down for a second to write something and is interrupted by Isabel saying, Kate! And she looks up and Isabel has teleported in front of her. Oh, maybe that's the digger power. No, that's not right. And she lifts up a digger saying, I want you to have this. Kate says, I told you I don't want it. And Isabel yells, but it's a lot of fun. And Kate yells back, I don't want it. And then the bell rings.
The digger really wants Kate for some reason. It's made getting Kate, like, priority number one. Even though there's plenty of kids that seem more than willing to give their souls to this toy. But anyway, they really want Kate, and they know she's already refused it on multiple occasions. So, took some time off, reformulated, came up with a new approach, and the approach was to say, but it's real fun.
Yeah, yep.
That's all you got? She doesn't want it. You need to do better than that, Digger.
Well, thankfully that scene is ruined by a bell ringing, so Isabel puts that digger in a little front pocket. She stands up and she stares at Kate, and Kate asks what the hell is wrong with her. And Isabel tells her, nothing. Can I come to your house to do some homework tonight? And Kate's like, yeah, sure. After volleyball practice. And Isabel informs Kate that she is not going to volleyball practice. And Kate asks, why not? And then Isabel just walks away. Kate chases after her and watches her walk up to Tom. Then she catches a volleyball out of nowhere, and a girl asks if she's going to practice, and Kate tells her, yeah, maybe, and we see Isabel look at Tom and nod, who nods back, and then they walk away, and Kate hands the girl the ball saying, no, and runs after Tom and Isabel. We transition and watch Isabel and Tom walking side by side, kind of robotically, up to a house. Kate looks on from the road, then runs up to the house, too. In the backyard, the kids walk into a door and open it up. And Kate watches, then runs over and opens the door silently. And who knew that we were going to get a stealth episode?
Yeah.
This is straight Metal Gear Solid.
Not since, you know, Nightly Neighbors have we seen this kind of covert action.
Actually, Brandon, Jake and the Leprechaun had this going under the bed stealth that we have here.
All right.
We don't talk about Jake and the Leprechaun enough, okay?
No, that's a good episode.
It's better than this episode by a lot. Remember that time that Sean made that kid drink spiders for no reason?
Yeah, just part of the training.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was like, why did I just drink spiders? And Sean was like, I don't know, I just wanted to see you do it.
Didn't think you would. I'd give all the suds in Dublin to see that.
Oh, me too. Inside, the two kids are looking at a computer screen with that stupid dog on it, and Kate walks down some stairs and takes a peek. And she looks upstairs for a second, and then she runs around the room and hides as two more kids come walking down the stairs. The computer asks for a progress report, and Tom says that they replaced 4 units, which Digger already knew, and have their data ready for upload. Then the computer boringly says, proceed. So Tom stands up and takes all the diggers from the other kids. There's 3 yellow ones and a trendy blue one. Kate watches on, but then we look down and there's a cute, tiny mouse near her shoe. Uh-oh.
You're gonna blow her cover, mouse.
Classic mice blowing covers. Isabel tells the computer that a 5th will be replaced and collected tonight, and the computer tells the kids that they have done well, but this is only the beginning. We must increase the collection rate. And Tom turns around saying, we are the first to arrive, but with each new collection, others will follow. The computer then says, in time, we will replace every unit on the Earth with one of our own, and their data will be uploaded into the Stella network to be dissected and used as we see fit. Which is pretty gruesome.
And then what? Then you've just got a world of billions of clones just walking around robotically with no point.
Yeah. Obviously, Digger hasn't thought this out that much. At this point, the mouse gets a little frisky and touches Kate, so she kicks it away, which makes some noise. And Isabel stands up and looks over, and she sees the mouse and reports her findings. And Kate looks at the group from a new vantage spot, and the computer says it's ready for uploading and asks if the base is secure. And Tom takes a quick look around and says, yep, it's secure. The computer says that it'll return control to him until the upload is complete and tells the kids to prepare to initiate power grid sequence. So Tom stands up saying, ready. And the computer dog thing tells him he has control. And Tom boops a couple of buttons, and then a deep voice says,
power grid sequence initiated. Upload will commence in 5 minutes.
And Tom hands out some new diggers, telling the kids to give them to the new units and stay with them until they've been collected. And we look at his face, and he says, I expect Kate to be one of them. Over with Kate, she just stares with her mouth open, and Isabel says, don't worry, and slings her backpack on, and Kate ducks down, and the kids all leave the basement. She looks at them for a moment, and then over at the computer. Then she looks at the diggers on the table and says, Tom? And we see them, and it's the four kids, and they're banging on the glass, yelling for help, as Kate touches them, asking if they're all right. And we hear Isabel say, they're trapped in here, and Tom says that they're going to get uploaded into their network. And Kate asks if they're aliens, but Isabel says she don't know, but she's got to do something or their history.
History? Like browser history? What is that? I don't know.
God, Kate is such a Neanderthal. Tom tells her to check the power or something, so Kate reaches behind the monitor, but gets zapped. So Tom tells her to just start fucking pulling cables, but she reaches down and she gets zapped by that again, saying that it won't let her and it must be protecting itself. The computer talks about how there's like 4 minutes left or something, so she looks down at her buddies asking what to do. And Tom tells her, the computer doesn't have control, so maybe you could shut it down. And Kate then says my favorite line,
are you warped? I've never even touched a computer before.
Are you warped?
I don't think anybody's ever said that before. No, I don't think anybody's ever going to say it again.
That's not a thing. That is something someone says in a sci-fi TV show where they have their own futuristic lingo.
Totally. Like Stargate Atlantis or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I assume people talk about being warped all the time.
Like, how insensitive, though. Like, these children are trapped in a horribly animated GIF, and they are kind of warped, so you quit being an insensitive little jerk. Damn Kate.
Never touched a computer.
Isabel tells her to get over that shit, so she sits down and she looks at the screen, and then asks what to do. And Tom tells her to grab the mouse. Oh, I forgot about this part. And Kate's all, the mouse? And looks behind her at where the live mouse was.
No! From that scene. No. Bad episode.
So stupid. Honestly, that might be the stupidest thing we've ever seen from this show. And we just watched an episode called Misfortune Cookie.
Yeah. This is a low point. Someone wrote that. They were tapping away on their typewriter because they don't use computers. They were writing this in their cabin in the middle of the woods, and they were like, mouse, like that mouse from earlier. Mouse means two things.
I hate it so much.
Fuck you.
Isabel immediately calls her out on that shit, so Kate turns back towards the computer saying, oh yeah. And Tom tells her to click on the icon at the bottom of the screen and choose shutdown. So she hits the system button and shutdown, and she gets a message saying, invalid command, enter security code. And Isabel tells her to click on anything. So she tries shutdown again, but gets the same click? Message.
What's that mean?
Isabel tells her to hit control delete. And Kate's all, huh? So Isabel explains it's on the keyboard. She has to hit both keys at
what?
Once. Say control what?
I imagine if you've never seen a keyboard before, which I refuse to believe she hasn't, you know, it'd take a little while to find those keys.
I agree with you. I'm looking at my keyboard right now, and if I was like a complete new person to keyboards and computers in general, like my focus would be on the letters, you know, so like the letters, you know, and numbers.
And your delete key might not even say delete. It might just say D-E-L, and then she'd be looking around forever like, oh, I don't see it.
Well, control is C-T-R-L, so, yeah, she's already
doomed. She's fucked, basically. They're all dead.
So Kate hits control delete and gets nothing. So Kate complains, saying that she's tried nothing and she's all out of ideas. The dog's eyes on the screen glow blue and says that the upload will be done in like 4 minutes. And then the screen transitions. And now we're with the Robo Kids as they disperse. Back in the basement, Tom tells Kate that she's got to get out of the desktop and into the operating system. In response, she says,
"You might as well be talking Greek."
And Tom tells her to click on the lower left icon, then on the open door that says operating system. So she does that, and the screen fades to black, and she's all, "It worked, I think." And Tom tells her to type directory, then enter. And the voice says that the upload will be done in 2.5 minutes, so Kate tells it to shut up and uses the Hunt and Peck style keyboard writing to type. Remember when you used that forever?
I still use that.
Get the fuck out of here, do you?
Yes.
Isabel tells her to type faster. So, okay, if we were in this situation, you'd be beep, boop.
Yep.
And I would be the one to die.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
What I'm saying is don't get in any situations where my typing ability is, you know, a matter of life and death. Because you will die.
All right.
I promise you.
Isabel tells her to type faster, but Kate tells her that she can't. She hasn't taken typing yet. The scene transitions and we see volleyball girl walk up to fake Isabel, asking why she wasn't at practice. So I guess our practice was like 2 minutes long.
Yep.
Because, you know, it only took like a minute to run up to that house. And, you know, the countdowns have been going on for 2.5 minutes. So quickest practice ever, apparently. Isabel asks where Kate is, and volleyball girl tells her that Kate didn't show up either. And then asks, "What's with you two?" And Isabel glares into the distance.
It is the most dramatic eye narrowing I have ever seen.
Back with Kate. She's still trying to type some words, finishing with R-Y. And then she says, "Done," and Tom tells her to hit enter, so she does, and the screen shows some green writing, and Kate's all, "I got him! I got him!" And Tom tells her to delete the preferences file so that she can bypass the security code. Which is computer speak, but you know what? Like, at least it kind of makes sense, right?
It's something.
Kate asks how, and Tom tells her to type D-E-L space digger preferences space exit. Then enter, which honestly, that's a lot for her to handle if she's literally never touched a computer before. But
I mean, that's whatever. A lot for me to handle, but whatever.
That would take her minutes.
She's still stupid.
The voice announces that there's 2 minutes left. Kate's in the middle of typing that when the screen goes back to the desktop with Digger. And Kate says, "Oh no, Digger's back." And Tom tells her, "No, that's good. Hit control and delete again." So she does that, and a message pops up saying, "Warning, pressing control delete again will terminate the application Digger." Isabel tells her to hit it, and Tom agrees, saying, "Do that, and then shut this shit down. We'll kill Digger." So Kate hits control delete again, and after a second, the screen goes black, and she's all, "Yeah, we did it." And Tom and Isabel are just like, kind of look around as the sound happens. And Isabel's all, "Wait, what's that sound?" And Kate looks at the screen saying, "Oh no, it sounds like..." And the screen flickers back on and the computer announces that there's going to be an upload in about 1.5 minutes. So Kate complains that it didn't work to her buddies, and Isabel tells her all it did was reboot. Another shitty screen transition shows us fake Isabel running. She stops for a moment and then she starts running again. Back inside, Isabel tells Kate if she doesn't stop this, then they're doomed. And Kate looks over saying, "Wait, what was that you told me about crashing your computer?" And Tom's like, "That's it. We can run everything at once and overload its resources." So Kate sits down at the computer saying, "Talk to me." And Tom tells her to open the... Okay, this part took me a really long time to write down because there's so much techno like jargon that I had to go back and hear him like 100 times.
Did you actually get it all?
I hope so. First, he tells her to open each one of these from the desktop icons fast. Then he says a lot of tech talk that sounds like shit. He says, "Open the drawing program, open the printer, and send a 6-color image in high resolution." The computer announces there's going to be an upload in 1 minute, and Tom tells her to start the photo studio and load the TXL file and start the scanner. The computer flashes a low memory message, and Isabel tells her it's working. Tom tells Kate to open the games file and choose advanced puzzles and choose the encyclopedia. Another warning flash is telling Kate to close all the applications, which she reads aloud, and the computer warns of an upload in 30 seconds, and Tom tells her to hit enter, and they're out of there. So she looks over, smiles, and is about to hit enter, but fake Isabel's hand grabs her and rips her away from the computer.
Oh no.
It raises up a digger device saying, now it's your turn. And the purple light flashes in her face, and she stares at it, and the digger announces that there's going to be an upload in 15 seconds, and real Isabel tells Kate not to look at it. So Kate closes her eyes and pushes fake Isabel's hand away, and then she runs up to the computer and enters saying, gotcha. But why does she get to, like, ignore the laser beam that was so entrancing for the other kids?
Because she doesn't know about technology.
That's stupid. That's really dumb.
It's very dumb. All of this is dumb. This takes so long to upload these kid souls. Like, their plan is to get everyone on the planet. They've got four little slots here to upload people, and it takes like 2 hours of being like, oh, upload in 8 days.
Oh my god.
Upload in 7 days. Like, come on.
That's a good point. We get a view of the dog's face as it counts down from 10, and Kate screams that it didn't crash, and fake Isabel laughs from behind her. She starts to pull at a gem on a platform or something, right? But they never explain anything about this gem. Where is this? Was there any point that we've seen this gem in the past?
No.
Okay. I was so confused. Fake Isabel pushes her into a wall as the countdown reaches zero, and that diamond, or whatever the fuck it is, that wasn't mentioned at all this entire episode, glows purple and shoots out a laser beam. With Kate, she looks at a small mirror hanging on the wall and that she just got pushed into. And then she turns over and pushes Isabel to the floor, and the other fake kids enter the room. And fake Tom asks, what's going on? And Isabel tells them that Kate's here. And we see Kate grab that mirror from the wall, and she uses it to block the laser beam and reflect it. And a loud noise rings in the ears of the fake kids for some reason, and fake Tom explains that she's overloading it. And with Kate, that laser reflects back and forth a bunch of times from the computer screen to the mirror, and then the computer monitor explodes.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I didn't like how they explained how there's going to be a light beam or whatever, but that's okay. It worked. It was fine.
No, all of that's stupid, but the exploding monitor's cool. See, if this episode had more explosions, I might be more forgiving.
We haven't had a real good explosion since, I don't know, the tree and Forever game, huh? Kate falls to the floor, the fake kids digitize in a purple glow, and then they fall to the floor. And we take a look at Tom's heaping dumpster fire of a computer, and Kate gets up, waving away the smoke, saying, now that's a computer crash.
Ugh.
Fucking Kate, goddammit. She looks over at the gem and holder of those digger devices, and they're all burned to a crisp and smoking too. And she calls out, Tom? Isabel? Oh man, I killed you guys.
That's my favorite line.
Oh, that was a great line, actually.
And fade to black.
I like that she is interested in Tom and Isabel, but there's two other kids. There didn't need to be two other kids, but there were. And this episode does everything it can to not make any notice of them whatsoever.
No, they're nobodies.
Those kids didn't even talk about how they needed help. Like... How upset would you be if you're, like, trying to, like, you know about computers, too, and you're trying to, like, help Kate through this whole situation, but Tom and Isabel just talk over you?
Yeah, Tom's just like, shut up. Activate the ether drive.
Kate, open up Microsoft Paint. Paint a little picture. That'll totally overdrive it.
Draw a picture of a cow, Kate. Let up Minesweeper. Kate. Not that one. Oh, you blew up.
And the real kids are just like, no, do something important. Save us.
Kate, open Internet Explorer. Ask Jeeves, Kate.
Like, Kate, turn the solitaire to single card so you can win. Kate, change the screensaver. To the maze.
3D maze, Kate.
No, the bubbles, Kate. I want the bubbles.
3D words, Kate.
From behind her, Isabel starts to get up, and she says, no, you didn't kill us. Kate falls to the ground near her, saying, is it you guys? And Isabel smiles, saying, yeah, it's us. And Kate looks at her neck, saying, wait, no tattoo. It is you guys. Are you okay? And the kids all kind of nod and say, yeah. And Tom's all, Kate, you saved us. And Isabel adds in, and you're totally amazing. I promise never to tease you about computers again. And Kate then says, are you kidding? That was awesome. I had no idea computers were so cool. Oh my God. They almost died.
Yeah, I'm glad you had fun, Kate. While I was in, you know, the nth dimension.
Awaiting my death sentence. It's going to get dissected. By a dog. The kids all start walking away and Kate says, I want to get my own notebook. No, a laptop loaded Mega Man, CD-ROM, DVD drive.
I don't know. It's a Unix system, I know.
We stay back with Tom for a second, who looks at his destroyed property saying, Mom's gonna kill me. And then he walks upstairs. But we stay back and we look at that melted computer and it says, feed me. And the camera moves over along the ground and we see a digger on the ground. And then a foot stomps on it and Kate says, on second thought, my pencil works just fine. The end.
Oh boy.
My God. I thought for sure that it was going to be the mouse that was like now, you know, a robot mouse.
That would be an interesting turn.
But no, we got that shit. That was really dumb. The
computer mouse now.
Oh my God.
Get it?
Who made these diggers, right? Because you would have to manufacture that hunk of plastic. So who made those? If this is just a website, what's stopping it from being goth and being like, well, all right, I'll just try a different other kid? Because all that blew up was his own personal computer. If this is a website, any other kid could go on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you do a Yahoo search for Neopets like you would in 1999, and boom, you're a digger now.
Yeah. I mean, if the diggers can teleport or have some kind of extra special powers, I don't know. I don't know why they need the kids at all, really. But if you do need the kids, just, you know, put an advertisement out there for the URL. Get kids to go on there, take their brains.
Then you win.
So, Tom got absorbed directly, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, he was just straight up in the system from the computer. So, why don't just do that? You don't need the handheld things. Just get all the kids on that website and then just take them.
Honestly, I feel like that would be easier because you could just be subtle about it. You could be like, dude, I was playing on this awesome website. You got to check it out when you get home from school. It's digger.com. And then they go on it and boom.
See, the only problem with that is that game is shit.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
But if all you need them to do is stare at it for 10 seconds, then it only needs to be interesting for 10 seconds.
Right. But like if somebody hypes up a website, and, you know, they're, like, talking about it all day or whatever, and then the kid gets home and they want to go on that website, they won't know it's shit. But if you hand them a hunk of obtuse plastic, they aren't going to give a fuck about that. I mean, they do in this episode because they're stupid, but...
And then you just got to go through the rigmarole of gathering up all the little machines and putting them on the crystal diamond switch dock and then wait 8 minutes for it to upload.
That's a good point. Why was Tom in one of those diggers? He wouldn't have been.
You wouldn't think.
Plot point that they forgot about. And such a solid episode, too. Aside
from that point. It's only real flaw, really.
Right. Well, that fades to the campfire where Vange says, so, the next time you play a game on your computer, make sure you know all the rules. Because if you're not careful, your computer may be playing with you. And we hear Megan's beeper go off as she and Quinn tell Vange it was a good story. And Tucker kneels down to extinguish the fire. Tucker has perfect timing and dumps the water as we see Megan look at it, saying, why does my mother insist on reaching me all the time? And she stops, she gasps loudly, and runs away. And Andy picks it up and shows Tucker saying, okay. And then they run away too. And Vange then picks it up and reads it with Quinn, and the pager says, feed me, feed me. And then Quinn says it took him an hour to figure out how to do that. Which makes me wonder if this was planned, if her story was over an hour long, if Vange told Quinn what the plot was going to be. You know?
So just best not to think about.
Okay. Vance throws the pager up saying that she always wanted one of these and then puts it in her pocket. And the two walk away and Quinn says that she owes her big time. The end. I think that the moral of the story is trying to tell you not to, like, you know, have technology consume you or whatever. But yeah, sorry. Sorry, Are You Afraid of the Dark? It did.
Yeah. The moral is definitely technology bad.
Technology bad. Pencil and paper good.
Yes.
I think that the real moral of the story is not to have shitty friends.
That is a good moral.
Like, Kate doesn't care about any of these people, and, like, she begrudgingly helps them and then talks about how fucking awesome it was that they almost died.
Yeah, don't be a Kate.
The Tale of the Virtual Pets is a really stupid name, and I think that we should come up with something better.
I'll try.
The Tale... God, what happened in this episode? The Tale of Skipping Volleyball Practice.
Oh, how dare they.
I know, you can't even do it, but they did it.
The Tale of the Technological Fear-mongering.
That's actually a pretty good one.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, right. The Tale of... Is it a notebook? Is it a laptop? I don't know what the difference is.
I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
On my technology.
Oh my god, we're using technology right now.
I'm using like 5 technologies right now to record this podcast.
It's like a world record.
I'm like swimming in technology. Just draped in electronics. Dripping with microchips.
I just assume you're a nerd right now. You look like my envisionment of you is the nerdiest thing.
I'm like, screen. And you're like, English, please.
That's me. The Tale of the Worst Best Friend.
The Tale of the Crystal for some reason?
Yes. That's a good one. I don't know. The Tale of the Tamagotchi?
Tale of the Shitty Dog.
That's mean.
I hate that fucking dog. Like, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, but
I don't want nothing to do with those dogs that hatch out of eggs and just nag you about food all day. Just, no, nothing. Don't want it.
Okay, hot take. I think that's all I have, Brandon, honestly. All
right.
Are you ready to find out what's next?
Yes.
All right.
Let's keep this roller coaster going up.
Next episode is called The Tale of the Zombie Dice.
Oh, man, I got, like, excited and then deflated.
I know, I heard it from here.
Zombie dice, huh?
Yeah. Who do you think's going to tell this story? I think it's probably going to be Quinn, maybe?
I think so, too. Even though I really want to hear a Megan story.
I don't think that Megan has zombie dice in her repertoire.
No, no. I was hoping it was going to be a Megan story. But zombie dice is just... I'm not really seeing zombie dice from her.
No, I'm going to say it's probably either Quinn or Tucker, I think.
No, it's Quinn. Tucker's not getting another shot so soon. He could.
What if he does, like, every other story? Like, we don't know. Maybe Vange only gets one story. And Megan gets none. Let me think here, though. Zombie Dice, I think they can't be doing another board game, so it's got to be gambling, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking, oh, board game, but we just had board game, so yeah, casino.
Yeah, it's got to be gambling. Maybe, you know, they go into a haunted casino and they have to, like, you know, save somebody's soul or something by rolling the dice.
That sounds so lame. Not as lame as Virtual Pets, though. Or Miss Fortune Cookie. So
I have high hopes. I mean, higher hopes. Let me look on IMDb. Well, do you want to guess what you think it's going to be, or do you think it's going to be that too? I mean, what else could it be, really?
That was what I thought.
Okay. Well, let's look on IMDb. It looks like The Tale of the Zombie Dice has a unbiased, I'm sure, 7.9 out of 10 from 412 reviews on IMDb.
All right. So this episode's garbage.
So this episode is a little bit worse than Miss Fortune Cookie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, right? I think it'll be fun. But you know what? I've been up all night. I'm done. I don't want to talk about virtual pets anymore. I don't want to think about Tamagotchis. I'm done.
Feed me.
I need to get off this computer before it sucks my soul away. You know.
Feed me.
Whatever. You can't eat, Brandon. It's like almost 1 o'clock in the morning over there. You can't be eating right now.
Well, I can. and I will. I've got a Reese's peanut butter cup right next to me right now.
You motherfucker. I'm going to steal your soul so that I can have a carbon copy deliver me that Reese's peanut butter cup.
There's probably easier ways to get Reese's, but that works.
That's true. And you know what? You probably pay a lot more for your Reese's peanut butter cups than I do. Prices in Australia are crazy. And you know what? If you think about it, that's the scariest thing.
And that's where we end.
All right. I'm out of here, you guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.